Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, let's go. It's Wednesday, game install day at practice as the Bills get ready for the Baltimore Ravens in what could be a veritable monsoon on Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Glad you could join us. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here with you. One Bills Live is the show, and we want to remind you that this week's game sponsor is On Location. On Location, unparalleled access to exclusive Bills fan experiences. We got the injury report from Coach for practice today, Steve. Not practicing today. Jordan Phillips, who Coach labeled week to week. So don't know that he's not going to make it to the game this week, so he's pretty much out. They're hopeful for next week, but even that is not a lock as Jordan Phillips dealing with that hamstring injury, so he will miss a second straight game. Ryan Bates not practicing. He is in the concussion protocol. Jay Kumerow not practicing. He has the high ankle sprain from last week's game. And Deion Dawkins is not practicing because of a non-COVID illness. So hopefully he's much better for tomorrow and the day after that, and can get on the practice field. Von Miller and Roger Saffold were to get rest days today, but we were out of practice. I saw Von Miller had a helmet. He was ready to go for practice. So maybe he said, yeah, I'm good. I'm practicing. I don't know. And then limited today, Dane Jackson, Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Mitch Morse, new offensive lineman Jonathan Murray, and Dawson Knox. Those were all players who either missed last week's game or had to come out of Sunday's game, that being Dawson Knox. Dane Jackson, Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Mitch Morse missed last week's game. So the team is on the mend. They're in a little bit better shape. And the practice update is presented by LECOM, Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. Getting healthier, yeah. But still a long way to go.
Yeah, and I still think some of those guys they're still achy from Sunday's game.
Well, Saffold played 90 plays.
Right. Those guys need a break, and they'll get it. I mean, they'll start to peak. They'll get them completely healthy and get them all hydrated and get them back to normal and then start to ramp them up for the game on Sunday. The thing that bothers me is, you know, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to play the Miami Dolphins. They're playing the Ravens. The Ravens are
They're a handful.
They are a really good football team. And despite the fact that the Miami Dolphins have beaten both these teams, and it's kudos to the Dolphins. They got, you know, they found their quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. Good for them. I'm glad. Tua's going to be, the Dolphins don't have to worry about it. That's fine. They're winners. Good for them. Let me just say this.
He is 9-1 in his last 10 starts.
Good for him, man. Awesome. The Dolphins are set at QB for, that's fine. This game is between two teams that I think are going to be standing at the end of it all. Baltimore is a really good football team, and as long if Lamar stays healthy, obviously. Just the same thing with the Bills. If Josh stays healthy, if those two guys stay healthy, these teams are going to be in the playoffs deep. And that's why this is a tough game going into Baltimore in a monsoon, which is, you know, kryptonite for a team like the Bills who throws it all over the yard. So this game scares me. It really does. It's a tough matchup against a really good team.
Who's really good conditions. In their own building.
And they're good in their own building. And the Bills, once again, are going to get caught by conditions that are out of their control. So this is rough.
2 weeks in a row, the Bills might be impacted by weather more than the opponent.
Well, I don't know about the opponent in this case. This team's better than Miami.
Well, yeah.
But that's
weather will be
the margins are so close in the NFL. I mean, you think about Baltimore. They're beating Miami by 21 points in the fourth quarter. Two plays, busted coverages, and they lose. That's how it is.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
We should mention Dane Jackson out there practicing on a limited basis today and was wearing a red non-contact jersey. So certainly a good sign, an encouraging sign going forward. What his status will be for Sunday, we probably won't know until we get to Friday's practice. And an insurance measure in that regard was made today as well, as Xavier Rhodes was signed to the team's practice squad. Buffalo had two open spots on the practice squad. They signed Xavier Rhodes, the veteran cornerback, and they signed Prince Amealy, who got called up from the practice squad and elevated to the active roster last week, and then was released after the game and has since reverted back to the practice squad. They re-signed him to the practice squad today along with Rhodes. So there is some insurance there in the event that Dane Jackson doesn't make it all the way back to play this week. Rhodes might be up either way when you think about it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
because really, your only corners on the roster right now that are healthy, Taron Johnson, Kyir Elam, and then Cam Lewis and Saran Neal. Jamarcus Ingram is still on the practice squad
Jamarcus
as well.
Ingram's there, but...
But I think, you know, if Rhodes kind of acclimates himself well to the scheme and they feel good about calling him up, they will do that.
They have Kyler McMichael listed on
He's on the practice
squad, He's a DB,
squad too.
And he's a 6'2", 202 guy, rookie out of North Carolina. He's, you know, rookie undrafted free agent. But so they've got bodies of guys who are acclimated, but certainly... Rhodes is brought in for a reason, and Sean, when asked, you know, what does Rhodes bring to the equation, he started talking about, you know, learning and how you get him acclimated. He used the word experience about five times.
Yeah.
The guy's been around the block, and nothing's going to be too big for him. He's not going to get caught not aware, and that's why you sign the guy. You need a guy that's
been there and done that.
Can think about football rather than where he's at when he gets on the field.
The other update to pass along, Christian Benford had surgery on his broken hand from the game on Sunday, and Coach McDermott said it was a successful procedure. He said he's going to miss at least a couple of games, so this week, next week, where it goes from there, we'll probably know in a couple of weeks' time as far as the healing process is concerned. So that's the situation there with the Bills injury report and who's healthy and who's not. Speaking of health, a position that is not healthy for the Baltimore Ravens is defensive tackle, where Michael Pierce, it has been reported by a couple of the national reporters, suffered a torn biceps tendon in last week's game against New England. So his status is not out there yet, but I would venture to guess it's very much in doubt.
Right.
For Sunday's game, he's a big run stuffer for them in the middle.
Yeah, both these clubs are starting to, you know, feel the weight of the reps that they've played here in the first month of the season. And we kind of got immune to it here in Buffalo for the last couple of years, but this is kind of normal procedure. Now, certainly Buffalo was a little bit – went deeper into the roster than most teams had to do
this early.
But at some point in the year, you figure this is all – would all happen. You'd like to see it spread out over about 3 months. But injuries are commonplace, and that's why the depth of your roster is so huge. The Bills just haven't been down this road for a couple of years.
That's right. One of the healthiest teams in the league in 2020 and 2021. But, yeah, the law of averages seems to have caught up with the Bills to some degree. Quick look around the NFL presented by Kalida Health, the official healthcare system of the Bills. The Jets might be on to their fifth offensive tackle. They had to put left tackle George Fant on IR with a knee injury. He's the third offensive lineman placed on IR by the Jets this season, following Mekhi Becton and somebody else whose name's escaping me. Meanwhile, just in time for Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, who was medically cleared to return to full practice and game playing. He will start Sunday, or at least the anticipation is he'll start Sunday against the Steelers, who do not have T.J. Watt. So Zach Wilson is probably very happy about that, knowing he's going to have another backup lining up at left tackle for him on his blind side.
Right.
Browns defensive end Myles Garrett has an injured shoulder and biceps muscle as a result of his one-car crash. Did you see footage of his car?
I did not. It ripped up.
Holy cow.
It looked rolled like, over,
it looked like DiCaprio's car in The Wolf of Wall Street. Remember when he thought, it's amazing, I got home completely high on drugs, and he thought he was like the Cat's Meow getting home without incident? He gets up the next morning, and he looks at his car, and it's completely it's ravaged. That's what Garrett's car looked like. I don't know how he got out of there and walked away from the accident. It was bad. Like, it looked like somebody stepped on a soda can. Like, that's how bad his car looked. Very, very, very fortunate that he escaped relatively unscathed. What his status is for Sunday's game for the Browns, we don't know yet. AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Steve, Trevor Lawrence.
Good for him.
38-10 victory last week over the Chargers. And that offense is on its way. Big play capabilities, and it's amazing what a young quarterback can do when he's got the right coach coaching.
Well, we found that out here in Buffalo. Trevor Lawrence was way more highly touted than Josh Allen coming out, and he struggled, I would say, as much or more than Josh Allen did his first year. And Josh was a struggle. You saw flashes of it at times, but I think you saw flashes of it with Josh's rookie year more than you did with Trevor Lawrence last year under Urban Meyer. Now, when you get Doug Peterson, and I'll just say this, Jaguars haven't gotten much right over the last 4 or 5 years. They got this right. Doug Peterson can coach quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence is finding out, and you're seeing the results of it. That they strummed a team that some people thought had a chance to get to the Super Bowl, and certainly a playoff team in the Chargers this last week. They strummed them.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't even a game.
Yeah.
It was 24-0 or 24-7 at halftime.
Jacksonville had the first pick of the NFL draft this last April. They were the worst team in football last year by a long stretch, and they thumped one of the most envied rosters in the NFL this last Sunday and did it in resounding fashion. So
Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen off the edges,
they're good.
I think DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons might be the only tandem that I would take over those two.
Yeah, they're really good.
They are really good, and they're a handful. Tua, for those that care, limited in practice on Tuesday. Dolphins are playing on Thursday on a short week against the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins actually left Miami today to get out in time before the hurricane hit and impacted air travel. So think about this, Steve. They do film correction and review on Monday after Sunday's game against the Bills. They practice to yesterday and then fly out today to get out.
Yeah, they probably had a little bit of a walkthrough or kind of a thing today at the facility, and they'll fly out this afternoon. They may not even be in the air yet. They'll fly out later, but you know they got to get work done. But by the same token, you're trying to juggle hydration and travel and logistics and meetings and film study and working out and treatment, all of that stuff in a condensed week. We've all been there. We've all seen it, you know, in this thing. But I'm telling you what, that
as much have to do it
as rough as
Thanksgiving.
As rough as it was that Sunday game for the Bills, the heat. Now, it wasn't as bad because of the shade they were in, but they had to play in that too. The Dolphins did, and it was a rough and tumble game. So they're up against it as well. I'm telling you that if the Dolphins beat the Cincinnati Bengals on the road this week after what they went through this last Sunday with the Bills and all of this, what's going forward, that would raise their level of respect in my mind more so than beating the team the way the game happened on Sunday.
Okay.
If they beat the Bengals this week, that's impressive. That's really impressive to me. We'll see. But because that to me is a tough week.
Yeah.
A tough week. And nobody's got any love lost for the Dolphins here in Buffalo. But I'm telling you what, you think about it. That's a tough ask for the NFL to make them do it, particularly given the game they were in against Buffalo. I think that's the thing.
So while Miami leaves their facility early, it opens up the opportunity for the Tampa Bay Bucs to fly south to Miami to get out of the way of the hurricane, which is making landfall as we speak. They relocated to South Florida. They're practicing in the Dolphins facility this week to get ready for their game against the Chiefs, which is a game that is likely to be moved to Minneapolis due to Hurricane Ian. That will be the location if and when the league makes the call to officially move the game to a neutral site, with Tampa clearly in the path of Hurricane Ian, which is strengthening and maybe a Cat 5 by now, which is the highest and most and strongest a hurricane can be.
They're evacuating. It looks like they're evacuating the entire state of Florida. They're telling people to get out. And they have deadlines. At one day, it's like 8 p.m. on Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Wednesday today, 8 p.m. tomorrow, and 8 p.m. the next day. It goes all the way up through the state. People have got to get out of there. It's bad because
messy.
People are going to die in this hurricane.
Well, people that don't evacuate.
People are going to get hurt. And I know it's your home. I know it's your property. I know people are going to die over this. It's bad. It's bad. You hope people look out for each other down there because, man, oh, man, it's coming and it ain't no stopping it. You can't shovel it like you can snowstorms.
Yeah, you're right. And it's likely, at least at this point in time, based on some of the spaghetti models, where they have the multiple tracks, that it will bring rain and pretty significant winds to Sunday's game between the Bills and Ravens in Baltimore. There is currently a 70% chance of rain for the game, winds of 25 to 30 miles per hour. So, for the second straight week, weather could play a major factor in how the game is played, much like it was last week in Miami due to the oppressive heat. So it'll be very interesting to see the weather we, in fact, get in Baltimore on Sunday because it's not looking good right now. Let's go to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Tom on a cell. What do you got for us, Tom? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing good.
I've been wanting to say this for a long time, and I'm not being contentious. I have thought this out, and I'm like, I watch the Bills in every offseason. Do we agree this management is really trying to win the Super Bowl? They are doing all the right things to try to win, not just to be competitive or to put rear ends in the seats. They're trying to win, which makes me sit there and wonder what their aversion is to having a running back who commands a little bit more respect than the ones we've had. Why do they seem to not – every offseason comes and goes, and I'm like, man, why do they go get Smurfs, who supposedly are the best pass catchers ever? Why can we not have a running back? We don't have to be a running team. They just command more respect, keep defenses a little bit more honest. Why will they not do that? I don't get it.
Tom, you answered your own question. Why would they want to spend like a number one pick on a running back in a league that's not a running league? I get what you're saying.
Brady has one.
Brady
has a. Other passing quarterbacks have. We don't need to spend a number one pick. Just go get somebody a little bit heavier than 200 pounds that commands just a little bit more respect at the line. And nobody's afraid of us running. Nobody.
No, they're not. Tom, you're right. They're not. But I'll say this. They're afraid of this offense.
Yeah.
Whether they run it or not. I get it. I mean, I get it. It would be great. But you're worried about, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an analogy. You wish the freight train that was rolling people over was a different color. I don't know. I mean, this team is really good. Their offense is not a problem. And to be very honest with you, the first two, and let me go back and remind you the schedule for the Bills. They come, They went to the defending world champions and hung 30.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
1 points on them. They went to the number one seed in the AFC. They played them at home and hung 41 on them. I'm not doing anything different. I don't care if you've got Derrick Henry in your backfield. I'm not handing it to him any more than I did when I scored 31 and 41 points in respective games. Now, they go into Miami, and I'll say this. You can say what you want about the running backs they have. It ain't about them last week. It's about offensive linemen 6, 7, and 8 that were starting in that game, plus the seventh one had an ACL tear. And the sixth one, the fifth one, the starting center was the sixth one the week before. He wasn't even on the field before. So you've got 6, 7, 8, and 9 offensive linemen playing in Miami. So, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing to complain about with his offense. Injuries, okay. Weather, okay. That's fine. There's nothing in this offense that says they need to change anything. If Walter Payton was in their backfield, you ain't handing it him any more than you're doing tonight. Now, he may run better when he does, but you're throwing it. If you have Jim Brown in your backfield, you're not going to change your game plan.
You're not going to run a little bit more with Jim Brown?
Maybe, because he may get more than 2 yards, maybe, because he's big, I guess, is what his point is. Listen, you're hanging 31 points on one team, 41 the next week, and then with offensive linemen 7, 8, and 9 on the field, one of them with an ACL tear, you're going to complain about your running game. Come on. I mean, come on. I get it. You wish you could run. Everybody wishes they could run the ball because it makes us feel good, because it takes the stress out of us. We never face a 3rd and 9 with a big time running back. I get that analogy, but let me just tell you something. They were 9 of 10 on 3rd down in week 1. 9 of 10.
And they were 11 and 18.
I don't care if they ever hand it off. They're as good an offense as there is in the NFL. Maybe, and they're in the conversation for the best one. So, and jump up and down about how the offseason went. Oh, come on. Come on, this team is the preseason favorite to go to the Super Bowl, and due to a confluence of adverse conditions this last week, most notably, good Dolphins defense. That's fine. I'm not even going to start in on a troll conversation with Miami fans. They've got one loss by 2 points in a game where they can look at themselves and say, hey, we're the ones that – man, don't mess with this roster when it's fully healthy. I'm not changing anything. I'm not trading any of these guys, not the running backs, not the tight ends, not the offensive linemen, nobody. So I get it. There's always one thing, you know, there's always one thing that we don't have or that they do that we wish we had or that we wish we did better. Come on. We're a freight train. We're a freight train. Don't worry about what we don't got.
And I will say that, you know, they invested a second-round pick in James Cook, who I think flashed last week in the passing game. I realize he's probably not the between-the-tackles runner that our caller wanted, but give it a little bit of time, and I think you'll see that James Cook can be an added weapon in this offense, maybe not in the fashion that you think, but I think he will be a weapon that fits this offense perfectly for what they want to do with the running back position. I just think some things have to unfold. And I'll say this, because we talked about this yesterday. Aaron Kromer was brought in to change the rushing attack formula, and I think it's going to take some time, just like anything else that's new. And, you know, you want to have your criticisms now, that's fine. Let's see where it is in week 6, 7, and 8. Week 7's a bye, but by the time we get to midseason, let's see what this run game looks like.
What are you talking about? We scored 31 on the world champions, 41 on the one seed, came in, and you got no offensive line, 19 guys are on the injured list, and you're worried about running the foot. You're saying we should have run the foot. Come on. So you want to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. That makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if he's saying that. I think the only thing
is what he's saying. Hand the football off to another guy, it's out of Josh's hands.
Well, yes,
if you want to get a not guy who you want to give it to more, that's exactly what you're saying.
No, what he was saying was he doesn't feel like any running back on our roster intimidates any team in the league because there's no fear that they're going to gain any appreciable yardage of any kind.
He believes
if you have a big back, you at least offer the threat of that. And it has to be respected. He doesn't think that our running backs are respected by any opposing defense.
He's worried about respect.
Yeah. Well, I'm just
telling
you what
he's saying.
How much
do you think they respect you when they hang 41 points on you?
Well, I know.
How much do they think they respect you when you're hanging 41 points and you got a 4-to-1 touchdown ratio? How much respect do you think they're getting? You don't think they're – yeah, okay.
We've covered that.
Spare me that.
Let's move along to Keith in Holland next. What do you have for us, Keith?
Brownie, first of all, I'd just like to say – the squirrel problem? The dog did his job. Maybe Steve knows from hunting pheasants or something. The dog finds the animal, and then you're supposed to finish the job. That's what that's about.
All right. Okay.
You took a picture with my grandson over in East Aurora this weekend, and I want to thank you. It's a big deal for him.
Who, me?
Well, no, for my grandson, it's for me.
You're talking about Steve took the picture?
Steve took a picture.
Yeah, I wasn't in East Aurora.
In East Aurora this past weekend.
All right, Keith.
What's up?
I know you do that for a lot of people.
No worries. What's on your mind, Keith? What else?
He was worried about the squirrel.
Just Brownie. Brownie was supposed to take care of the squirrel.
I did eventually with a roof rake in one hand and my spike ball net in the other. I mean, I was no gladiator, but
I got a bunch of grandkids. I could have gotten one of their swords and shields, and I could have done the whole thing in costume.
What were you going to say, Keith?
No, I was just going to say, normally the dog makes the animal come around by you so you can finish the job. So I think you were a little critical of the dog. I think you did what you're supposed to do.
All right. You want to give full marks to my dog? That's fine, Keith. I have no problem with that. I'll try to be better prepared. But my older dog, she used to just chase him clean out of the yard. Right. I didn't have to lift a finger. My younger dog, she's learning.
There you go.
She got totally faked out of her socks, though, because the squirrel doubled back on her and ran in my garage yesterday. It was nuts. I don't know how it happened. What's the biggest critter you ever had to deal with?
Skunk.
Oh, that's not fun. My older dog got sprayed by a skunk. She ran right up to the thing, and the thing just turned tail and said, here you go.
I don't care. Skunk.
What'd you have to do with that? How do you get rid of one of those they're... Oh, you just... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What was it, in your garage or your shed or something?
No, nesting. Night after night, they were right out in my backyard, and I, you know, you can't let anything outside. I just dispatched them.
Okay.
They're gone. And the problem is, you know, what happens when you, you got to bury them quick.
How deep?
The fastest hole you can dig, you dig it and you throw them in.
You know what my dad has to deal with? He lives in South Carolina. You know what they deal with down there? Armadillos.
Oh, yeah.
They have completely migrated across the Sun Belt from Texas and now up
and
the
I'll
East Coast.
Too,
they're in South Carolina.
They're
now.
Not good for anything either.
They'll cut your power lines to your house if they're underground.
Yeah, they're bad.
They just dig. He can't stand armadillos. Yeah. They're like public enemy number one for him. They don't move too fast, though, and you can trap them. So, all right, this Critter Talk brought to you by Steve and Chris. We'll take a break here and talk more Bills. We actually have head coach Sean McDermott, who addressed the media prior to today's practice. We'll have his comments for you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back. One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Time for us to turn to head coach Sean McDermott, who addressed the media prior to today's practice. Had some injury updates and some thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens. Here is coach.
Well, I'll give you the injury report. I know that'll be one of the first questions that's asked. One practice today, Ryan Bates, Christian Benford, Deion Dawkins. Deion has a non-COVID illness. Jake Kumerow, Jordan Phillips, and then Vaughn and Roger Saffold are on a vet rest day. The following players will be limited. Dane Jackson, good to get him back out there today and see how he does. Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Mitch Morse, Justin Murray, player we just signed, and then Dawson Knox, just with some soreness, back hip soreness there. So with that, we'll turn it over to your questions.
Just to clarify, Ryan Bates is still in concussion.
Correct.
If you have to go outside, you did. Just give us a little bit of an update on Rhodes and what you can expect from a guy who's a 10-year veteran.
Yeah, a lot of experience overall there, on our practice squad, the same. That's kind of the new look practice squads these days of compared to what they used to be, right? So experienced players, played a lot of football, ball production. Smart veteran player. Came in. Their day did a good job, and we're looking forward to seeing him on the field today.
May not be able to practice.
Yeah, he'll do. He'll be limited today. He'll do some individual, and we'll see. We'll see what he can do from there.
Why didn't Saran Neal get into the game? We saw Jamarcus play, but we've seen Saran kind of elevate in preseason. Why didn't he see time on the outside?
Yeah, just again, the heat, just with what was going on, and trying to keep. You got to. A very good special teams player that was playing for us, and if he's got a double dip then, and what takes away from special teams, so that's where we were, and we have a lot of confidence in Saran, but just wanted to be mindful of that.
John, do you expect that there's going to be criticism of your inability to win close games until you do it, because you're a Super Bowl contender, and that's the one issue that people out there are going to harm us?
Yeah, I think we've shown that, right? I mean, you look back, as I said, a few weeks ago when I was asked this question about close games, 2020, I think it was, we were maybe 5-1. So we've shown that over the years. I think 2017 we were either break even or pretty good there too. So, I mean, the NFL is a game of close games, right? It's a league of close games. So I think we have to continue to work on executing down the stretch in order to win those games.
You guys sat down, though, in the last year, to talk about the way that you handle those late game situations and find ways to get better?
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry, absolutely. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation. We spent a lot of time in those last 2 to 3 plays of the game situations on all sides of the ball. And then you're out at practice, I believe, and you see us working on 2-minute out there quite a bit, as much as I've ever been around, to be honest with you. So I think our process is right, and then we've got to continue to execute in the final moments of the game. So,
what are the challenges of adding a veteran once the season starts?
Well, I mean, I think adding a veteran is maybe a little bit different than adding an inexperienced player, especially this time of year. They bring the experience, but it's also sometimes we have to strip away some of the other things that they've learned at other places, be it terminology or just ways of doing things. So it does add value. There's value there, but then there's some challenges that you do have to get over too, compared to maybe an inexperienced player as a rookie or a first-year player.
Sean, you guys, in the last 2 times I guess you played Baltimore playoff game in the regular season, your defense has done an admirable job against Lamar. I mean, this guy's killed other teams. He hasn't really killed your team. What do you attribute to that? How have you been able to limit the damage that he's been able to do?
Lamar's a tremendous player. He's an elite player, one of the faces of the NFL. And you know, I just think it's a just you gotta have a total team effort, right? And that's just not defense, but offensively, special teams to do their part, and we've been able to do that. You know, I think the defense has played good team defense and disciplined defense. He's just so good in so many different areas that as you've seen this year, he can you know, they can, as an offense, you know, put up points in a hurry. I think they lead the league in points scored. So, you know, he's got weapons on the outside. He's with the new with Duvernay and Bateman there, and they can take a short pass and turn it into a big gain. And so they're very explosive with Lamar, and then he's got, you know, Andrews and what he does, and he's so savvy and strong and good after the catch there. So, you know, they're a tough offense.
Considered, you know, in the first few years for sure, maybe a limited passer, maybe a good passer, but a limited guy. Does the defense have to change a bit because he clearly isn't a limited passer anymore? I mean, this is a guy who now is probably a pretty good passer.
No, he is, and the stats reflect that. So that's why. That's why he's as good as he is. I mean, he's a two-dimensional player and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Against Lamar, how important is that force of defender, that edge guy, in terms of obviously having to deal with all the read option stuff? And I know it's one part of a whole team effort, but, you know, that guy on the edge seems like an important cog when it comes to being able to contain Lamar a little bit.
Yeah, the perimeter of the defense is important, to your point. Again, you've got to be assignment sound, whoever's job that is on every play, and that includes third down as well. So, you know, again, it's going to be a team effort. We've got to play great team defense.
Is that more, you said, Simonson, is a more disciplined position, or, you know, the athleticism to be able to keep up with him more important? That's fine.
Well, both. It's good to be in position, but if you can't make the play, we still have a problem on our hands there. So, but we have confidence in the guys on our team that we've got, you know, athletic players in those positions. And you know, but the discipline piece is important.
All the moving parts in the secondary. How much do you lean on Karen and experience, and how much do you need him also to play his 111th while knowing what's going on in that secondary?
Yeah. No, it's a valid question. I mean, when you look at what Taren's been able to do and who's around him at times or who's been around him, you know, you want to. A veteran voice and a guy that's played in our system for a few years, and he's done that. And I think Taren's playing really good football, and you know, I expect he'll continue to do that.
Kind of along those lines, how has John Butler responded to the challenge of getting so many young, inexperienced players ready to go?
Yeah, no, John's great. Those guys, you know, he just works. He doesn't say anything about it, and he just goes to work and gets those guys ready. And it just seems like one after another, year after year, he's been able to do that at a high level.
Your mind, the biggest challenge when you have so many experienced players. It's not just one or two. It's in some ways an entire secondary with the exclusion of Taren. So what is that biggest challenge in your mind?
In terms of getting the whole secondary ready? Yeah. Well, you're talking about players that haven't always been around each other and been in a system for a number of years where they have a rapport built up and the communication, the necessary communication built up. So, and that all leads to execution at the end of the day.
Talk a lot about getting guys ready for a game like Miami. What about recovering after a game like Miami? What that looked like maybe over the last 48 hours for you guys as you have to get those fluids back in them and get them ready for Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a great job of that. We've moved forward in this case, and looking at the Ravens this weekend and in practice today, obviously, and the guys seem that they're in a good spot and focused on improving today and getting better. Well, I think it goes back to, again, a little bit of Jerry's question earlier about, you know, the games come down. It's in the margins in most games, right, in terms of what leads to what separates winning from losing and whatnot. And I think, you know, it's the detail, it's the execution, and there's a lot that goes into that.
John, on that note, how much does playing two-dimensional football impact your ability to finish drives and finish games? You haven't been able to get the running game going. And kind of a multi-pronged question, is there any disappointment in that? You haven't been able to get the running game going with the additions you made on the offensive line and in the backfield, and what the offensive line coach, Eric Roma?
Well, I'll start with just confidence in the offensive line. I've got a lot of confidence in Aaron and our offensive linemen. You know, we didn't get it going this past weekend, and I think as the season, especially the beginning part of the season, unfolds, you're always collecting data, collecting information, and then where do you need to make adjustments? How do you need to evolve as an offense in this case? You know, so that we can continue to improve and win games, and to kind of just cover your ears or your eyes to that and other things like that wouldn't be responsible. And we're all about that, so that means taking the time to research it, looking ourselves in the mirror, and then knowing what we got to work on to improve as a team.
How do you feel you can improve that area on offense? Do you feel the changes need to come schematically or personnel-wise, maybe both? Do you have an idea of that?
Well, you look at everything. Again, I'm starting personnel-wise. I'm extremely comfortable and confident in the guys that we have, as well as Coach Cromer. So there's a lot of things that go into that, not just, you know, one thing in this case. Yeah, I mean, that was a, you know, significant situation there. So with all players, Catherine, we have a ramp up type of plan. Nate does a great job along with our sports science and strength coaches with that plan and what they can handle the first day back, like today versus tomorrow. And usually what happens is you ramp them up a little bit today, like we're going to do with Dane, and then see how he is when he comes back in tomorrow, and then assess and try and ramp him, you know, even further the next day. So that's usually the progression, if you will, and hopefully that's the case with Dane.
I was watching tape on Lamar, and knowing that you have Josh, bring back any memories of the process you had to go through in 2018 to find the right quarterback, and knowing that you – you know, these two are the standouts of that class.
I mean, you look at what Josh has been able to do, and then you look at Lamar's game, and they're a little bit different in terms of, you know, their strengths maybe, and but just it's good for the league. I mean, these are two young quarterbacks that play at such a high level. They give you headaches. They're hard to stop because of their multidimensional and what they do and how they can do it. And so a lot of respect, I'm sure, around the league for Josh. And of course, we love Josh and a lot of respect for Lamar in this case, too.
Every season has their adversity. It's how you handle it. What is your message to the team amidst all these injuries, amidst, you know, high going down? What is the message to the team?
Yeah, I think our environment is the key piece of this, right? Like, what's in the environment? And right now we're focused on, you know, minimizing distractions and maximizing performance. And I think that's the key, is we have to focus on improving our football team on a day-to-day basis and doing everything possible to do our jobs at a higher level so we get the necessary execution. And in order to do that, you've got to make sure that your mind is in the right spot and that you're minimizing those distractions, like I said.
Have you gotten a sense of Jordan Phillips' timeline in a general sense, whether it's more day-to-day or week-to-week?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this week, Jay, and I'm feeling like it's a little bit more week to week. I'm hopeful for next week, but we'll see where it goes.
Of course, you'd prefer to have him on the field, but does Micah just kind of become an additional coach at this point? I mean, we saw him on the sideline against the Dolphins. Is that going to be his role moving forward?
We'll see. You know, we're going to take that one day at a time also. I could tell you this, he would always be welcome I give him a whistle. I've joked with him about that a couple of days ago, but he'd make a very good coach if he'd ever want to embrace that role. We'll see.
Can you just talk about your disappointment for Christian Benford? He really burst onto the scene, seized the opportunity, and on top of that, just how does a rookie rebound from an injury like this, gaining such momentum, and having to kind of take a break and come back?
Yeah, that's it's a shame that it had happened, but that's life in the NFL, and he was off to a really good start, and so there'll be a process, as I mentioned earlier, bringing him back. You know, he had the surgery yesterday. I think it was yesterday, right? I'm losing track of days, but he had the surgery yesterday, and it went well. And now it's about how do we get him back as quickly as possible, but also as safely, more importantly, as possible. So we have a plan in place for that. And again, our medical staff, our training staff, our sports science and strength and conditioning coaches do a great job with that.
He handles it mentally, though. Like, mentally, as a rookie, you gain all that momentum, and then the disappointment, and then just revamping that in your mind and moving on.
Yeah, that's we talk a lot about that, and I'm kind of chuckling because that's a real thing, especially for a young player who has never played in this league up until this season, and then on top of that hasn't been hurt in the league. You know, some of these players may have been hurt in college, but being hurt in the NFL, going through that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For your first time, there's a mental component to that. So again, confident in the people that we have downstairs to help him through that the best that they can and he can.
Up to me last night and just said monsoon in Baltimore on Sunday. I know you guys pay attention to the forecast. Are you dialed into that? Is that something you prepare for as you tailor practices?
Yeah, we started talking about it, honestly, before we got off the plane Sunday night there, knowing that that could be the case. I mean, usually these things track, and if they go up, they go up, and they hit kind of that metro area there and in D.C., Baltimore from time to time with remnants of it. So we're tracking it, we're monitoring it, and we'll just take it one day at a time.
All right, that's head coach Sean McDermott addressing the media prior to practice today. We are at break time here. When we come back, we'll discuss some of Coach McDermott's comments and take more of your phone calls here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Lager event on Tuesday, October 4th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. Attendees will receive exclusive giveaways, refreshments, and get the chance to have all their LASIK questions answered by the official ophthalmologist of the Buffalo Bills. Want to get back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, and we go to Dave in Florida next. What do you got for us, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm down here dodging a hurricane.
Yeah, good luck.
I watched the game last week, and when Josh threw that into the ground in the fourth quarter, and then he went to the bench, and they were looking at his right hand. Now, what I'm trying to find out is how is his hand?
And yeah.
I don't get no information down here.
Yeah, so he, after the game, we're waiting to go in the locker room. He walked right past us to go to the x-ray room right after the game, went and got x-rays. They were negative, and coach was asked about Josh today, and he said everything with his hand checked out fine. It's essentially a bruised hand is what he had. Right.
How did that happen?
I think he probably beat it on somebody's head when he followed through.
He said it got caught between a couple of guys.
Yeah, it might have got caught on a pileup. And let's face it, he played 90 snaps, and he was on the ground some and all of that. So,
I thought it was a snap that he took and hurt his hand.
I didn't hear that at all.
He didn't
Josh,
indicate
maybe,
that. So he said, maybe. I think he said it got caught between a couple of guys in a pileup somewhere in the game. That is not why he missed that throw, though. To Isaiah McKenzie on fourth and goal. It's throwing mechanics there. Yes, he wanted to get it out quick, but if you look at his throwing mechanics, he is flat-footed, open-hipped, and he just tries to arm it there.
He just didn't
and that's when
arm.
You yeah, that's when you fall victim to a ball dying on you prematurely, and that's what happened there. So if he hops and sets his feet and drives into the throw, it's probably there and on the money, but, you know, the play clock's winding down. It's fourth and goal. Maybe his internal clock is rushed a little bit, and he wants to get it out there fast. And in the past, he has found a way to arm throws to certain places successfully. But out to your right, when you're open-hipped like that and you throw flat-footed, you know, we've had Jordan Palmer on this show several times who works with him in the offseason. He will tell you, your mechanics can fall victim to inaccuracy if you throw it that way. So it's a learning thing. And that's why, you know, you hear Josh all the time say, a lot of throws I want back, a lot of things to learn from. That's something he can learn from that exact play. He's open-hipped, he's flat-footed, doesn't step into the throw. And granted, he's got pressure in his face too. We're not blaming him for the mechanics. Those are just the mechanics he had to utilize on that play, but they're not sound mechanics in any way, shape, or form. And that's why sometimes, you know, you have to – actually, he could have stepped and thrown it properly, looking at it again.
He just hurried the throw. He hurried. Thought he could get it, and one hopped it out there. But as far as his hand injury, the last we heard about it was, like, today he addressed it. And it's like it's – and, you know, you watch Josh out there. He's got nothing on his hand. He's throwing. He's not even –
He probably iced it on Monday, iced it on Tuesday, got some treatment, good to go.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be any lingering effects at all.
Back to the phones and to Rob in Connecticut. What do you got for us, Rob?
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
We're doing pretty good.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with Chris and you as well, Steve. I enjoyed watching you back in the days.
Thanks.
What I'd like to say is that when I think of the Buffalo Bills today, this team is a resilient team, and they also persevere through everything. Since 2018, that's all they've ever done. All right. And Chris, you touched on something on Monday that has stuck with me every night before I go to bed. And that was the fact that when you walked through the locker room and everybody was loading the bus and Josh Allen was sitting there still in his uniform.
Yeah.
That just goes to show what kind of person he is. And knowing that that happened reminded me of when Stephon Diggs had his hands on his hips.
Yep.
After that loss against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. This is the kind of team that learns from what happened on Sunday. Just like Von Miller had stated, this is good medicine for us. So, I mean, there's nothing to worry about. Things happen. It's going to happen. But as far as this Buffalo Bills football team today, all it is trusting the process. And when I mean trusting the process, trust the process of the running game, fans. Listen, you've got Singletary, you've got Zach Moss, and you've got a young kid just coming out of college, James Cook, who is actually an all-purpose back when you think about it. Give him a chance.
Yeah.
Trust me. But our game is, yes, we like to throw the ball. As Sean McDermott was saying, it's all a process. And they're going to find a way, and they're going to work the running game into our system where it's all going to even out. And that's all we have to do. Just believe in the fact that we can persevere through each game. Now, at the beginning of the season, you know, I have friends. I wear my Buffalo Bills stuff all the time. And they're always saying to me, oh, you guys are going to go to the Super Bowl. you're going undefeated. I said, whoa. One game at a time, my friend. Okay? One game at a time.
Yeah.
And as far as the other thing I wanted to say, I'll end it with this. The other thing that stuck out is what Steve said the other day. It was a dominating loss. It was a dominating loss. We did not lose to Miami. All right? It was just those miscues and the things that we didn't capitalize on. So there's nothing to get upset about. Yes, I was a little disappointed, but there's nothing to get upset about this Buffalo Bills team. They're resilient, and they will persevere through everything that they do. They work hard.
All right.
And I just wanted to let you guys know that. Thank you very
much.
All
right, thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate it. I mean, I mentioned Josh, who's sitting there seething about the loss, you know, a half hour after he's done with media and everybody's left the locker room. It's still sitting with him and eating at him. He's not the only guy on this team. Rob astutely pointed out, you know, Stephon Diggs has got his hands on his head staring at the AFC Championship celebration after the 2020 season came to an end in Kansas City, watching the Chiefs celebrate the fact that they were going back to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, those are the kinds of players that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott want on their team, where losing is not acceptable and winning is the only object. That's who they look for. They don't always get it right, but 95 times out of 100, they do.
Yeah, and you can dissect every loss all you want to and try and look for things that the team does wrong and, you know, all the things that go wrong and team does wrong, and you can blame them for the loss, okay, and they always lose close games and they always win big, and somehow people construe they lose close games as being a problem, as if losing by half their games by double digits is better. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, that it's a good football team. They're still a good football team. They wouldn't be a different football team if they had gotten the field goal off in the last minutes of the Miami game and won it. They're still the same football team today as they would have been in that case. So let's not overreact.
Break time for us here. When we come back, we're going to be joined in the next hour by Reggie Gilliam. Buffalo's do-it-all fullback will be joining us coming up here in a little bit on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.